This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. We're all familiar with design, from the buildings we live in and cars we drive to the cell phones we use and the shoes we wear. But the design process can also be used to tackle social issues. Joining us to discuss how design can help solve social problems are Design Impact co-founder Ramsey Ford and communications and designer coordinator Busy Young and director of community impact with the United Way of Greater Cincinnati and Design Impact board member and partner Michael Baker. You can join our conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Email us talk at wvxu.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
What is your definition of design? Busy, we'll start with you.
Oh, gosh. I would say my definition of design, before I started Design Impact, like you said, it was kind of more shoes, products. But now I would say designing a service would be my definition of design.
Yeah, no, I think that when we talk about design, a lot of times we talk about this, it's more of an ability. It's an approach to kind of problem solving. So we talk about this idea of design being a tool that allows you to see the world in a new way, conceptualize or realize a different future for what's actually happening, and then actually go out and make that a real thing. So it's both a research and then also an action process.
Michael?
Yeah, I think in the work that we've been doing, I've come to learn that design is very much that a problem-solving methodology that really looks at the end user, whether it's who's going to wear this pair of shoes or who's going to access this social service program. It's really taking into account their point of view and how they'll interact with a system or a product and making sure that it fits their needs.
Now, your goal is, as you've said on the web and some other places, it's designing community solutions. And that is a really big statement. What does it mean? How do you design a community solution? Ramsey?
Well, I think a lot like Mike was saying, where it's bringing voices that aren't always at that decision-making table into that process. And so a lot of what we're doing is going out and identifying users, citizens, however you want to talk about people that are related to an issue, a problem, or an opportunity. Talking to them in deep ways, engaging them in a process where their voices are heard, and that the ideas that emerge out of that, the concepts, the potential solutions, are really based in what their aspiration needs and where they're coming from.
Busy?
Oh, I'm going to pass it over to Mike here.
For us, it's from a United Way standpoint, it is looking at the issues in the community that we've prioritized. So getting more kids ready for kindergarten, getting more people in the community employed, having more youth graduating from high school. And it's figuring out what are those barriers, what keeps a family from enrolling their kid in a preschool program, and how can we design solutions that, you know, appeal to them, that make it easier for them to do that, that gets past any barriers they may have, whether it's understanding what a program is or accessing that, whether it's, you know, transportation or time of day. And so for us, the designing community solutions is really looking at the systems that exist for the people we want to help and making sure that they're a better fit for how people actually live and interact with those systems.
Well, let's take it from the ground up. How does it all start? Does it start with an idea? Where does this all begin?
So maybe a good way to do this would be talk through like a project that we've done in the past couple of years with partners at Gateway Community College in Northern Kentucky and the Partners for Competitive Workforce here in the entire region. And what partners started with, they started with a problem they had identified, which was that they were having a hard time attracting women into advanced manufacturing careers. So we've got a lot of advanced manufacturing careers in the region. There's a lot of opportunities for people to get good paying jobs. And those careers are having a hard time getting those employees, specifically women, involved. And a lot of women that could get these jobs would really benefit not just themselves, but their whole families and communities from having these kind of higher paying, career-ready jobs. And so we started with that as a problem, you know, and a lot of what design does is it looks at that problem and it tries to reframe it as a possibility, saying, so instead of saying, like, it's impossible to get women into these jobs, it's saying, hey, how could we possibly do that? And so a lot of that research starts with looking at the system, doing a lot of kind of best practice research, but then really going in and talking to women. So we talked to women that were currently in positions, women that were considering these, women that were in training programs, women that had dropped out of training programs, women that had never even heard about advanced manufacturing, to understand what was happening in their lives and what their interest level would be and what their barriers were.
Not only did we do that, too, we tried to really put ourselves into the shoes of these women. So one of my coworkers and I actually rode the bus from a place where a lot of the women were from and tried to get to one of the advanced manufacturing jobs, and just to really understand how hard that can be sometimes, and to just look at the barriers in a different way and really put ourselves into that position.
And what did you find? I mean, what did you do with the information that you found?
So a lot of what we do is we call it kind of like we just make sense of it. So we get insights. It's qualitative. It's not a quantitative. So it's not a numbers or data analytics. It's really just kind of stories that you're capturing from people. And what we do is we start to weave those stories together to make sense out of them. And we call this like identifying opportunities. So we create spaces that we think are really rich for new ideas. And so like in this case, one of those idea spaces was around helping, supporting women in developing stronger social networks. Because one of the insights was that when things go wrong in their lives, the first thing that they have to do is they can't make it to training programs, and then they have to drop out of those training programs. So they never even have the opportunity to get these jobs. And so by building stronger social networks, there's possibility to kind of connect people to those jobs, basically. And so what we would do is identify, you know, a set of opportunities like that, that we could then invite people in to ideate on. So then once we have those spaces, we actually, you know, go to those same people that we actually were interviewing and doing research with at the beginning of the process and say, hey, why don't you come on back? We've kind of looked at what you've created, and we're now going to, you know, ask you to help us come up with ideas that could be these solutions.
We have to take a short break, but I want to follow up on that a little bit more about where the next step is from that. We're talking this afternoon about using design to address social problems. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're discussing how to use design to solve social problems. Our guests are Design Impact co-founder Ramsey Ford and communications and designer coordinator Busy Young and director of community impact with United Way of Greater Cincinnati and Design Impact board member and partner Michael Baker. Again, our phone number, if you have a question or a comment, is 513-419-7100. Or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. So let's continue on, Ramsey. You were explaining how the whole idea of people having trouble maybe getting to work, and you find out what all the problems are and you gather all this information. Then what do you do with it?
So we create a space where people can come together and create new ideas. And that's we call it brainstorming, ideation, whatever. But there's a lot of techniques we use that basically help people get outside of the boxes that they're in and then come up with what could be potential solutions. And we create lots of them. And then as a team, what we do is we kind of down select about which of those solutions we think could be most useful. So in the case of that we were talking about, we rebuilt a curriculum that aligned with Gateway's current curriculum to train women for the workforce that was really centered on also building social networks within the other women in that program. And so that was something that they would then take, and they did take this in this past year, and test out. So it's a prototype. It's something that's really easy to test, very inexpensive. They're not rolling it out across, you know, hundreds of locations. They're just going to try it in one space in one time and see if it works and get feedback from the users or students in this case on how well it worked for them.
And this is why you partnered with Gateway on it, because you knew you could do that kind of testing.
Exactly.
There.
Gateway is a great place that had access to a variety of stakeholders that we were looking to interact with.
Now, it seems when people are making ideas and coming up with design and you talk of those sorts of things, you think about this as a way to make a profit or where the money comes from. Where does the money come from for all of this? And do you need a lot of money to sort of get those ideas moving?
I mean, I think the coming up with ideas doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, one of the things that we have tried to do, the United Way and Design Impact together, is to build a program that actually helps to build capacity to use these tools and use these skills within local nonprofit organizations.
What do you mean helps you build capacity? I'm not sure what
you mean. So we've been providing training to organizations so they can learn what is a design process? What does that look like? And how can you do that on your own?
So your goal then is not only to do this design work on all of yourself, but to actually get other people looking at things differently.
Yeah, as our executive director always says, our goal is to put ourselves out of business as a nonprofit by basically getting enough organizations to be able to deftly use design practice that we don't have to do it for them.
So what are some of the other organizations you've worked with besides Gateway?
Well, we're recently working on a project with ECI, which is Economics of Compassion, and Community Matters. And the project that we're working on here is how do we get alternative economic methods into communities of Cincinnati, and which communities would be ripe and ready for that kind of thing.
First of all, tell me what an alternative economic, what did you call it?
Alternative economic method.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
Let me give you an example. Okay. Time banking is one of the alternative economic methods that we're using right now in Lower Price Hill. And what that means is instead of like monetary value, we're using time as a value that people can exchange as a currency. So I hope that makes sense.
It does, but tell me how they do that. Give me an example.
So what it would be, an example would be like if I'm really good at going grocery shopping, what I could do is I could go grocery shopping for you for an hour, and I would have an hour and I could spend it on something like maybe Mike could come build my garden, help me make a garden. So I'm doing something for you. I'm gaining an hour and I can spend it on somebody else's time. So instead of using money as the currency, we're using time.
How's that work? Do people seem to get it? Are they doing that anyway? Do you have any idea?
There's a lot of pocket communities that are happening around the United States where it's already going on. But basically what we're trying to do with this project is to see whether or not Price Hill would be able to use something like this. So we've had a lot of really awesome interest in it, but this project is just running it forward and seeing if we can get it off the ground in Price Hill and seeing whether or not this is the specific alternative economic method that they'll be using.
Now, this
it could be something else.
This doesn't seem all that new to me in the regards that, like, you know, when I was a kid, my mom would say, I'll babysit for your kids for a couple hours if you take mine
for a couple hours.
So is it just a matter of getting that sense of community?
Absolutely.
And sometimes with the work that we do, you know, we work in this area of social innovation. And sometimes those are completely new things that emerge out that aren't really from anywhere else. But a lot of times what those are, they're making appropriate existing ideas or technologies into specific communities. So they're kind of right-sizing current solutions to local communities. And so, like, Biz is talking about something that's been out there. And the concept, you're right, I think, in other times has been less formalized. But I think it's just an emergent model that we've seen in other places around the nation. And our partner, ECI, was interested in seeing how that would fit within Price Hill.
So you've got this sort of trading of hours of time that you're talking about. And you talk about just seeing what's out there to help people that want to get jobs and to make it better and maybe dealing with some of the roadblocks that people might face. What other projects would you like to share?
So one that I think has been really interesting for us is we worked with the Northern Kentucky Community Action Commission, which runs the Head Start program for Northern Kentucky. So preschool programming for families, low-income families, and the Housing Authority of Covington, which runs the public housing. And they were really interested in families from the City Heights housing complex and how they could get more families to enroll in Head Start. So have more families take advantage of those resources available to them. And I think what's really important about all of the design work we're doing is bringing in that user perspective, because sometimes in any industry, but in the social service sector, you can make assumptions about the people you're trying to help. And so one of the things that they had done was to look at the way that people get from one place to another. So look at the transportation issues. And so they came to us and they said, we really want to innovate around transportation issues to get families to Head Start. And they talked about, you know, the isolation of City Heights, and there's kind of woods all around it. There's one road that goes in and out. They talked to us about the bus schedule. And we sort of pushed back and said, well, how do you know that it's a transportation issue? And they kind of recited all those things to us again. And so what we asked them to do is to go sit down with some moms and talk to them about why their kids weren't enrolled. And they did that. They sat down in their living rooms and they asked them these questions. And what they found is that many of the moms said, well, my kid's just too little to go away to school. And they'd say, well, what does that mean? You know, and the moms would say, well, look at him. He's kind of running around the apartment. He can't sit at a desk all day and just stare at blackboards. And it really gave him that insight of, wow, the moms, when they think of preschool, they think of a classroom with desks and a blackboard. And they don't really necessarily know that it's a play-based curriculum, that, you know, there's a lot of fun activities and songs and games, and they play with their friends. And so what they realized they had to do was get across to the moms what a preschool classroom actually was, and the way that they taught those teach the kids. And so they did that by they got this bubble machine, and they drove around City Heights and created this giant bubble storm in the parking lot. They invited the moms to come to some fun community events on the basketball court, and they had a bounce house and a petting zoo and a pumpkin patch. And while they were doing these activities, they would come up to mom and say, you know, we don't really have a bounce house at Head Start, but we don't have desks either. We teach the kids songs and introduce these learning concepts to them through play.
We are just about out of time. Did that help?
It did. So they went from 13 kids enrolled in Head Start to 36 in about 6 weeks.
Thank you all for being here. Time went quickly. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, my guests today were Design Impact co-founder Ramsey Ford, communications and design coordinator Busy Young, and director of community impact with United Way of Greater Cincinnati, and Design Impact board member and partner Michael Baker. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer is Belinda Kai. Today's technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. This is Cincinnati Edition. Alzheimer's is a terrible disease that robs millions of individuals and their families of the past, present, and future. There are currently an estimated 5.3 million Americans with Alzheimer's, and that number will increase as the U.S. population age 65 and older continues to increase. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at what progress is being made in the study of Alzheimer's disease. That's Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.